Well, by now you probably already guess it's an election year. My topic is faith equals works, and that's basically trying to put it all together, what you've just heard from my two extinguished colleagues. But the real problem is we're actually saved by grace, and they even read that. They underlined it. I noted that, you know, that they underlined it, highlighted it, and everything. In just a second, since it's my job to actually facilitate a discussion, I'm not going to talk all that much, even though I do have a lot to say. I'll let you say it all. One of the verses that I did pull out of the scriptures that I think highlight some of the things that were being discussed and need to be addressed here is it says that for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. So you've heard that faith saves us, you've heard that works saves us, and now you realize that actually it's grace that saves you. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace you are saved." Now, if you weren't picking up on what my dad was saying every time he was skipping over a verse, the verse that he skipped over had to do with faith. How many of you knew that? After all, he was quoting from Hebrews the 11th chapter on things about works, but what do we normally think Hebrews the 11th chapter is about? The chapter of faith. Okay, so now you kind of get the gist of things, and you guys get to help us fill in the blanks. Okay? So first fill in on the blank is Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. What are some of the other things that it says? For by grace you are saved through faith. Not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. That we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right. If I could quote it, I would have just said it, I guess, for you. But the nice thing about that is it pulls it all together. You notice now that faith, works, and grace are all in the same set of scriptures, and we can kind of see how they interrelate and how they interact. So faith and works, I don't see how we can really have a line between them. I don't see how that's possible. As much as they might like to fight over that, it doesn't do us any good.
And you know why?
Why, Vesper?
It all has to do with the will of God.
When it comes down to it, that's exactly right. We all have to do the will of God. And that's the works part. And we see here a verse that I believe may have already been quoted by one of the two of you. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder. That he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And both of those parts are important. We have to believe in him, that he exists, and that he is the one who rewards those that diligently seek him. There's kind of a faith part. What's another one that we would use, maybe in James, to give you a hint of where I'm going, with faith and works needing combination? Okay, that's a pretty clear statement. Show you my faith by my works, right? That whole chapter has a couple of extra things. So we have a pretty obvious point that faith requires works, but can you go the other way and prove that works requires faith? This next verse will show that a little bit if you watch real carefully as it slides in. And speed up the CPU next time. This is a quote from Christ to the leaders of the Jews saying that John came to you in the way of righteousness and you didn't believe him. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not repent so that you could believe Him. You know, what this is saying is you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind to be ready to believe in God, to have that faith. So you have to begin by the first step is you have to humble yourself to even have faith. If you don't do that, nothing's going to work. So I think you have to have faith for works, and you have to have works to have faith. You have to go both directions. Somebody read that real quick. Here's some statements in James, the second chapter, that we've already quoted. Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead being alone. Dad quoted this one. Wasn't Abraham justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son? Let me ask you this, though. If Abraham had been sitting there with a knife in great anger, what would have been wrong with that picture?
No love. His attitude.
No love, no faith. Nothing is really right there. He's in anger. A lot of people do that today. They raise a knife or a weapon above somebody, and that doesn't accomplish anything. So Abraham was justified by works because he was doing this in faith. We see in Hebrews where it says that he had faith that God could raise up Isaac. We don't know what was in Abraham's mind other than why the scriptures come back and tell us that he had this faith. So do you see, it says, do you see how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect? They go hand in hand, left and right, right and left. You see then how that works, that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. But it doesn't argue that faith is not necessary either. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Other comments that you have on combining faith and works? David?
A lot of what I see in a couple places in Hebrews, also in Romans, where it seems, I guess on the surface, that it's a faith versus works topic, where it really isn't. What I see, if you look, you know, deep down here, what you'll find is that it's a faith and works on one side and the law on the other side. It's not faith versus works. People get that confused with, you know, works being the same as the law, and that's not the case. He was pointing out that people that have faith and then they do their works because of their faith, that's different than blindly following the old law and just, you know, being strong, I guess, in the fact that you were circumcised years ago. And that seems to be the argument he's really making.
Okay. Good point. Any others? Tina?
Well, I think a good working analogy of this, you know, type of war between the two are the Pharisees. Because they had faith. They had faith in the wrong thing. It wasn't a complete faith, maybe you should say. And they had works. But they were the wrong kind of works. It was faith in the wrong thing. And it just didn't work for them. They kind of did. And Jesus told them repeatedly about both those things, that your works are wrong, your attitude is wrong, you have faith in the wrong thing, and you have to get it all working together. You can't have one of those things right and have the complete picture. It all has to work together in order to be the way God wants it to be.
When Christ was standing near the treasury and watching them cast their money in, were there people doing good things there? Was anyone doing the wrong thing there? Did he condemn anybody for what they were doing there? He saw one that he pointed out and said, this one has done more than all of the others, but the others were probably doing good works, as Tina was saying. But on the other hand, they were looking at this very physical thing. We got to keep this temple alive. We got to keep this thing going. But the real thing is they missed Christ entirely by what they did. And they missed the giving of their whole self to God. Bob, did you have a comment?
Yes, in John the 6th chapter, Jesus is talking to the religious leaders, and they ask the 28, then said they unto the Lord, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. But here faith and works are tied together. So we see that's the key element all the way through, that we have to have not only faith in God, but faith in what he tells us to do and do it. And the main things that we see the scriptures condemning on works is that it's the works of the law of Moses, or it's works that men have said are religious works, that they dreamed up out of their own head as this is pleasing to God, and so let's do this thing. Those are the things that we see that are condemned in the scriptures, while this is what God approves of.
Okay. That's right. Jesus defined for them exactly what he wanted and how it was, and exactly how it was that faith and works are related, and even how the law is combined into all of it. Leon?
Jesus talked about the day of the Lord, that there'll be people that will talk about the works that they've done, and haven't we done this and that in your name? And he says, I'll say at that time, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I know of people, and I know people who are disobedient, and yet they do great charitable work. I think they'll probably be included in the scriptures among those to whom he says, depart from me. So those are works that are works not justified by faith because they haven't shown their faith and obedience.
But they're good works nevertheless. But as Dad was pointing out, according to man's law, it, not that it's bad even in God's sight, but that does not fulfill all of God's law. Dad?
Faith motivates us to do or not to do, as the case may be, anything. Whether we're talking about spiritual matters or secular matters, I think most of us only do the things that we feel are going to benefit us or not benefit us, as the case may be, in all of the decisions that we make. If we don't think it's going to benefit us in some way or another, we generally don't do it. It may be because of obligation or something like that, but even there, we're fulfilling an obligation. But the faith that we are talking about here is the confidence, the thing that motivates us to do what God wants, not what we want, but what God wants. The basic thing is that faith is the thing that motivates us either to do something or not do something.
Okay. Notice that both of my extinguished colleagues by now have crossed the lines to the other sides. Where was that? Oh, there you made it too easy for me. He circled it. David provided me something that I'd like to share. I'll get you in just a minute. Any other comments? This is in Acts, the 26th chapter. To Agrippa, Paul is giving his defense as to really who he is and what he's doing and why he does it. He says in Acts, the 26th chapter, verses 19 and 20, he says, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." So Paul was going around preaching the very same thing, even in his own actions. His faith caused him to do that. We talked about the fact that Jesus caught him and said, it's difficult for you to kick against the goads. And he eventually converted Basically, I think that would have been an overwhelming sign to have some faith when he saw his revelation of Christ. But then he lived that and shared that thought that they need, or that we need to prove, we should prove our repentance by our deeds. And that's what Jesus was telling the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews, I think, when he said that if you had repented, you could believe. But since you don't repent, you can't believe. It's kind of a catch-22. Comment.
Just touching on the faith equals work thing again. One day me and my dad come home, and my brother's at the door talking to this guy who, you know, is walking through the neighborhood door to door, you know, giving his spiel. And my brother's terrified. He doesn't know what's going on. So we walk up, and we start talking to this guy, and he's talking about the Mark 16, you know, go out into all the world, preach the good news. If you believe and are baptized, you'll be saved. If you don't believe, you'll be condemned. This guy was so focused on that last verse, the only question he would ask us is, what condemns a man? Well, it says right there that not believing condemns a man. But then, you know, I asked him, well, what saves a man? Believing and being baptized saves a man. And whether you think that baptism is, you know, a work or something that's done to you, whether it's not a work or it is a work, that's, you know, that's not the point. But the point is, he was so focused on that verse that that's all he was thinking about, and that's all he focused on. But the only real way to find out 90% of what the Bible says is to read all of it. You know, to go around like we did. You know, we pretty much went through all the faith stuff and all the work stuff, and now we're going to, and we're putting them together, and we're finding out that there's, you know, there's third parties here like Grace here, just, you know, kind of hanging around here and there. Because, you know, there are some point blank things in the Bible, you know, that you can't argue with. You know, the Ten Commandments, you know, can't really argue with that. There's a few things in that you don't need to really, you know, search around a whole lot for. But for most stuff like this, I mean, you really got to read a lot, and you got to find a way to put stuff together. Because if you do like David did, or you do like Bill did, and you just focus on one thing, then like it says, I think in Proverbs, there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, leads to death. The way that David put that together, and, you know, granted, he's a salesman, so he threw it pretty good. You know, it's convincing, you know. You're like, yeah, faith is all we need. And then Bill comes up and gives, you know, his bit, and yeah, works is all we need. But, you know, now you're up here saying that it's really all one big wheel, you know. It's like you said, hand in hand.
So that be a lesson to you. That's all I have to say.
I don't think either one of them said that's all you need.
That's true. Yeah, he's
in. The only reason I could is because I had to keep on cutting it off before I got to the
next the next verse comes work.
I'm fortunate to be able to skip over the verse. I just do not have to be able to cut my time. So I couldn't with full conscience say that I had to hand that verse to run.
Janice, you had a comment too?
I don't think anybody's mentioned the verse yet in James 2 that says, that there is one God, good, even the demons believe and tremble. So, and that's right in the section about faith versus work. I think that's a key concept, that there's more to it than just believing. That you have to combine something with your belief. And that's what faith is, something combined with belief. As a classroom teacher, I could remind my kids multiple times that there was going to be a test on Friday, and there would be those that would study because they wanted to do well. And there would be those that wasn't important enough to study. They had other things they wanted to do. And that's just like it is in this world. We know there's going to be a final exam at the end, in a sense, on Judgment Day. We all know that. Any of us that believe know that. But there are those of us that are willing to work to prepare for it, because it's important enough to do that. So, in a sense, I think faith is belief combined with desire. and a desire to act or to make something come of that belief. Another comment that's not really related is that many people want to toss out the idea of works because they feel that it's inconsistent with grace and salvation being a gift of God, that anything that people could do to save them. And so that's why they want to throw out baptism, for example. There's nothing that a person can do to save himself, so going down in that water can't save you. But someone in a lesson I read recently pointed out that you have to remember who it is that's doing the work in baptism. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God that's doing the work in cleansing. It's not a work on man's part.
And everything
that
we do
is a submission.
Right, and everything that we do, even though it may be us as the vessel that does it, is a work of God if we're truly doing His will.
Exactly.
Good point. Bob, did you have a comment too?
Yes, one of the verses that's often referred to by people who talk about faith and they don't is Galatians, the third chapter, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But then they need to take a look at verse 27 because it has that connector word for, which means this is what something is related to that statement, and it's for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. So it's a faith that causes us to be baptized, what the writer is talking about there. So it's not saying faith only. It's saying, again, what faith, what our confidence in God causes us to do.
All these are excellent things we need to consider. If you haven't picked it up yet, a lot of the scriptures around both faith and works are combined into the same chapters. And two of the good chapters that have been talked about in the Bible today are Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and James, the 2nd chapter. At least start there on your study of faith and works. Leon?
I'd like to just add something to what Bill was talking about when he said that our works result of the motivation given to us by faith, and I'd like to name that motivation. It's hope. Okay? When Abraham did what he did it in faith, but he did it as though he had already had the promises that were promised to him by God. He had already obtained those. That's how he acted. And that was the hope that he was acting on. So when we act the way we are supposed to act in obedience to God, we are showing our hope, which comes from our faith.
All right. Good. Very good thought. Mike?
I think what Bob had to say, and I've got a similar scripture, I don't know if you touched on this one, from Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. This is, again, one of the ones that's used often by the camp that talks about grace only. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by words, so that no one can boast. And then they often leave off the very next scripture. Well, I agree with that verse, but then the next one says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are saved by faith, and what are we supposed to do because we're saved by faith? Well, we're supposed to do good works. It's right there, one verse right after the other.
You'll find that in Hebrews. There's Ephesians. That's another good one to do, is Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. So you got James, Hebrews, 11th chapter, all those together. Now, I can't take responsibility for this flowchart here, but I'd like to go through it a little bit because I think it adds a little bit of meaning to what we've been talking about with faith. David Sims provided this. It starts with our birth. You can see that because it floats in here. Okay, so our birth is what it starts with. And after our birth, we have what we call these decision boxes in engineering terms, the flow diagram. And that means a decision is made, and that's why the question mark is there. Our sin. Do we have sin? Well, if we do have sin, then we have to go to another decision box and find out, well, is God's grace involved here? Did God provide any grace? The answer to that question, I think we know, is yes, God provided Jesus' sacrifice for us. Well, did He? Well, He did, because we can read the Bible and find that out. The next thing is that we have, I kind of went through those quickly, because what we have led up to now is the point at which we talk about our faith and our works and so forth. And we have to make that decision as to whether we have actually exercised our faith. What is faith? Have we actually done that? What is it? And I think from our understanding of what faith is, knowing that it's a belief in our God and in His power and in the doings that He's done in the very scriptures that we read, and if we are founded in those scriptures, we can answer yes to that question, but it's not over there. From what we have been learning today, you're going to have to put faith and works together. And you can see where the boxes lead, but there are some that are left out here. Even if we do have works, what we have found is that it isn't our decision. One comment that I noticed when we were reading these words on faith and works is that you don't find verses in the Bible that say that people are saved by their works. What is the key word that's used instead of saved? Justified. Justification is a what do we call that? It's a subjective term. It means it depends on who is doing the judging. And those works come into judgment right there at God's decision. God is the one that makes that decision for us. And if indeed He finds our works to be satisfactory, He puts us with the sheep in the fold of heaven. And that's the path. But you can see that there's other possibilities here. One distinct possibility is with our sin here, is there the possibility that we haven't sinned? Well, not for adults that should know better, that have understood God's Word, but for a child that hasn't had opportunity to know what faith, works, and all that is, or how to obey God, there is the possibility. And certainly our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ falls into this category here. There was no sin found in Him. But there are other possibilities as well along this path. The question might be raised, well, if we have sinned, is grace, God's grace extended to us? Now, it jumps in a wild heartbeat here. We have to have a destination other than heaven there. And we know what that is. But there are paths to hell here, and it has to be just as real and concrete as there is a heaven to us. There are faiths in both heaven and in hell. If Jesus hadn't been sacrificed, if God had not provided the one and only sacrifice sufficient for our sins, there is no other alternative for all of mankind than to go into the fiery furnace. If we don't have faith, we clearly go that same path. But if we do have faith and we do have works, and we come down and question the works, and there is nothing there, we have the same path. Have you noticed that there are many paths to one of those places? And there is but one into heaven, the path of righteousness. However, Leon was mentioning there are many people in this world that do works that we would consider to be good. They may indeed believe to be on this path here. But there's a roadblock here we would call Judgment Day. And if those works are found wanting or lacking as far as God is concerned in spiritual and righteous terms, they'll be numbered with the goats. Now I wanted to share with you, you know, when I was young and thinking of my faith and my works and my own righteousness, I realized that I was far lacking in this. And because of that, I had to... Oops, that's not what I wanted to do. I had to reconsider the path that I was heading in my own life. It wasn't looking good for me any more than it was probably looking good for some of you. Even though we may have had righteous parents or we may have had a good upbringing, and thus far we may not be too sinful, but we start thinking ourselves about, you know, how righteous we really are. And the real fact of the matter is, there is a place, and I can somewhat graphically illustrate that for us, I think. It's this place over here. And that concerned me. And as humorous as that might seem, the reality is just as real as we consider heaven to be there, that fire we may not think of as being something literal. But it is real. It's something that God put in the scriptures there for a purpose for us to understand. On the other hand, we realize that God has given us every reason to go after righteousness. He's given us this whole word that will tell us the path that we should go in and what the right works are, such that we can go this path. You know, we may fall off of it, but get back onto it. We may fall off of it, not doing the right works. But ultimately, in the end, as we said, we're saved by grace. It is God's decision. And we're all working, like Leon was saying, on this faith and our hope that God will number us with the sheep. So I ask you, if there's anyone out here at this time as we're getting ready to close this service, have you given it some thought? Have you thought of your own salvation? Have you thought of your own faith and found it lacking? Or your works? Or your actions and obedience to God? You've probably heard countless times what you do need to do to be saved, and there are many things that are along that path. We generally start by having our faith in God. We understand a little bit this. Maybe you don't understand this diagram. Can't blame you for that. It is somewhat complex. But it is a pretty simple truth that there's only two destinations on this whole chart. And you have to weigh the consequences of which path you choose. So it's your choice. David will be wrapping up for us now, and you can contemplate that for yourself. Maybe he can extend the opportunity one last time before we dismiss today, but I want you to consider it, if you haven't already, where you're headed. Are you on the path of righteousness, or aren't you?
Turn to Psalm week number 356. As we all heard, there's some pretty convincing stories depending on which way you want the scriptures to say things. If you've been given the task to prove that you can be saved just by believing, talk to David. He'll guide you to the right scriptures. And they are pretty convincing. And you can get just as convincing that you have to do nothing. That grace is going to save you. You don't even have to believe. A lot of convincing things, but I would suggest, as Ronnie said, you read find out for yourself what the truth is. We'll sing a song about believing first. And I think the important thing to believe, you don't just believe that God exists, but you believe that he sent a sacrifice, sent his own son.